wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The wait is over. Dell Technologies Black Friday and July deals are live. Check out incredible savings on select laptops and more, like the XPS 15, powered by Intel Core processors. The XPS 15 brings you the perfect balance of power and portability, plus stellar visuals and immersive sound. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Don't miss out on Black Friday and July savings at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy happiness. But money did buy your boat, where you find peace fishing, unlike at home with three teenage daughters. Because fish never argue about who stole whose crop top, or get mad the other fish used up all the hot water. No, they just swim around, never embarrassed to be seen with you in public. So save money by bundling your boat or RV insurance with home or auto from Progressive. And buy more happiness, or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. ABC News has confirmed the Biden campaign is now conducting head-to-head polling of Vice President Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. President Biden facing growing calls to step aside as nominee will hold a solo press conference tonight, his first in 8 months. Extreme heat keeping its grip on states coast to coast.
It's been so hot in many areas of California. 111 today in Sacramento. Over the weekend, it was 114, 112 today in Fresno. Nothing under 100 in Fresno for the next week during the days. It's been this way for a couple of weeks. And now in Santa Clara County, they say the heat has contributed to at least 18 deaths. They're urging seniors and the homeless, or really anybody who needs it, to seek out a cooling center.
ABC's Alex Stone. American Sherita Greer is headed home from the Turks and Caicos. She's been in custody since May for violating the island's law that bans bringing ammunition into the country. She was fined $1,500. This is ABC News. In New York, jury deliberations underway in the federal corruption trial of Senator Bob Menendez. The New Jersey Democrat is accused of accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes.
Prosecutors have asked the jury to make a lot of inferences. Look at what Menendez did. Look what he searched for in Google about the value of gold bars when gold bars suddenly showed up in his, you know, in his possession. And the defense attorneys say that this is a story, and it's a compelling story. But it's a false story because they say there is no direct evidence where Menendez says, if you give me this, I will do this thing for you.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. A passenger is blaming JetBlue for severe burns to her body, saying they were caused by scalding hot tea served during turbulence. She claims that the decision to serve tea during ongoing turbulence amounts to gross negligence. She is suing for $1.5 million. No comment from JetBlue. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention, like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher-end auto-pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is scheduled to meet this morning. Administrator Megan Wolf says they'll consider what guidance to provide local elections clerks following last week's decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court allowing use of absentee ballot drop boxes.
As the commission does with anything, they'll be tasked with looking at what is available, what the options are that are available, and during that public meeting deciding what type of guidance do we want to provide to our local election officials.
In 2022, the then conservative majority on the court ruled that drop boxes were prohibited in Wisconsin elections. Marshfield Clinic Health Systems is working on yet another potential merger.
South Dakota-based Sanford Health is in talks to take over Marshfield Clinic, which would continue to operate as a regional entity under the Sanford umbrella. Marshfield Clinic would also get 3 seats on Sanford's board of directors. The combined company would have more than 50 hospitals with 4,000 providers and 56,000 employees covering multiple Midwestern states. The deal is expected to close by the end of this year. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
It's the third time in 5 years Marshfield Clinic has attempted merger plans. The previous two featured Gunderson Health and Essentia Health. Family members of incarcerated individuals at Wisconsin State Prisons urge lawmakers to make changes. Rebecca Obart leads an advocacy group for inmates at the Stanley Correctional Institution.
The problems that we are having are systemic. They've been going on for decades. It's not one person's fault. It's not one administration's fault. But it's definitely going to take all of you guys to fix it.
The Assembly Committee on Corrections held a hearing Tuesday at the Capitol. 2 weeks ago, a counselor was killed by teenagers housed at Lincoln Hills Youth Prison. Several staffers at Waupun Correctional Institute have been charged in the deaths of 2 inmates. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. With a high-pressure system overhead, we have bright, beautiful blue skies today alongside calm winds. There's only a teeny tiny small shot of a few showers sprinkling in this afternoon. Enjoy this summery, comfortable day with highs in the mid-80s. Are you behind on tax payments? Call Tax Solutions now for help. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 83 degrees.
A big rally in the wheat market helped corn close with modest gains. But soybean futures, they were higher. But, man, did they struggle to hold on to the gains through the closing bell. Cotton futures mixed. Livestock futures, wow, is a nice move. They rallied after some early wheat price pressure.
Live from Double Down on 11 Day via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we feature a conversation with Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk, everyone. I am Chip. That is Davis.
Yeah.
We've got Matt Bennett today.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
love talking to Matt Bennett. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, we can cover a lot of ground with Matt because Matt's a farmer, Matt's a broker, Matt is a well-known speaker out on the ag circuit, so we can talk to you about what he's hearing from people out there on the road, what he's seeing on his own farm and in his area, and, of course, what he thinks is happening with the markets. Mm-hmm. So.
You know, I'll just say he's all of that, and also just to boot, a doggone nice guy. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, he is.
Just
absolutely.
A nice guy. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, do you know he's got 5 kids?
5 kids, and yeah. He's still a nice guy. See?
Yeah, and he's still that's got time level. To do all of that.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Go figure. Yeah. All right. Kind of a weird kind of day. We've got a little bit of smoke in the atmosphere again today. Filtered
what?
Sun. Yeah,
okay.
Filtered sun. You know,
what
I don't
been
think we've
up there?
Gotten. I don't think we've gotten the answer to what the filtered sun did to the 2023 corn crop.
That's a good question.
I've still got questions out to people at universities, private agronomists, crop consultants. Just what do you guys think? that did for the corn crop. If anybody's listening and has got an idea, I'd sure like to hear it, because that yield surprised more than a few people, and you can throw me into that category as well. So was it the filtered sun? Could have been.
I was watching a documentary on YouTube about, they called it the world's worst year. I think it was 535 AD or somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Where worldwide famine, just social unrest, massive, you know, extinction level events. They had traced it back to a massive eruption at Mount Krakatoa.
Mount Krakatoa, yes.
So there's your particulate matter in the air, creating a veil. Maybe it's similar, smaller scale.
1992, 1993, Mount Pinatubo had an effect on the weather trends in 92 and 93. So we better get going.
Yeah, we better.
What do you got in the news?
December soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly lower and on session lows, then recovered to spike resistance at $6 before setting back to close just below that level. Hard red winter wheat futures led the rally at mid-morning and held on to trade just above $6 late in the session. Export inspections of wheat in the weekend of July 4 totaled just over 240,000 metric tons. That fell short of trade expectations. Thailand, Japan, and Indonesia topped the list of buyers. The rally in wheat happened after it was reported Ukrainian forces seized a foreign cargo ship in the Black Sea. The ship was reportedly hauling Ukrainian grain taken and sold by Moscow. December HRW wheat futures 18 cents higher, 601 and three quarters. December soft red wheat up a dime, 595. September spring wheat closed at 618 and three quarters, up 7¾ cents, Chip.
Russia and Ukraine headlines having an impact on the markets again. Watch out.
Yep. Export sales of old crop corn in the weekend of July 4 totaled just over 538,000 metric tons, and new crop sales totaled 116,500 metric tons, both in line with expectations. Colombia topped the list of old crop buyers, and Mexico accounts for the bulk of the new crop sales. Buying interest in corn was limited by news. CONAB increased its Brazilian corn crop estimate 1.7 million metric tons to 115.9 million. December corn opened slightly lower and near session lows and posted a high range close above resistance at yesterday's high. September corn futures 4.5 cents higher at $4.25. December corn up 3.5 to 4.10¾. March corn futures closed at 4.24¼. That's up 3¼ cents, Chip.
I'm just going to feel good about the gains that we saw today. I'm not going to try to second guess them.
Good. Well, old crop soybean sales in the weekend of July 4 totaled 208,000 metric tons at the low end of trade expectations. New crop sales of just over 191,000 metric tons were in line with trade expectations. Mexico easily topped the list of new crop bean buyers. Improved soil moisture conditions in the eastern corn belt limited buying in soybean futures. CONAB also slightly cut its estimate of Brazilian bean production to 147.34 million metric tons. Soybean meal export sales in the week were below trade expectations, and bean sales lined up with trade guesses. August soybeans 3¾ cents higher today, 11.17. September beans steady at 10.63¾. Novi beans closed at 10.67¾, up 0.75 cents, Chip.
Yeah, August bean oil today back on the rally train, up 78 points. That helped the bean market a bit.
Well, cotton export sales weekend of July 4 totaled just 54,100 running bales, down by more than 60% from the four-week average. December cotton today, 6 points lower, 70.87. On your livestock's beef export sales, 8,300 metric tons were down 43% from the four-week average. Box beef prices were also moderately lower on modest movement. August fat cattle today steady, 182.25. August feeder futures closed higher for the first time in four sessions, up $1.80 to 256.15. And on the snout side, August lean hogs gapped lower and then recovered to close the gap and to post a high-range close. August hogs today, $2 higher, 86.67½, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Hey, Oliver, how's it going, man?
It's going, Chip. How about yourself?
Well, you know, it was a nice rally in wheat. It's good to see the corn market close higher. I'm just not sure if I trust the move in either market.
I'm right there with you. It's certainly nice to see a little bit of green on the screen, but it did not give me the warm and fuzzies, or at least, you know, get me really excited about going into tomorrow's report and then the weekend. I mean, we were higher on the day, but you know, after the 8:30 open, we were mostly lower across the board in corn, beans, and wheat. And anytime you see that, you know, it's a little bit of a caution flag. So, yeah, great to see some green on the screen, but certainly take it with a grain of salt.
Yep. Feeders higher for the first time in 4 days. That felt good.
That did feel pretty good, especially, you know, after what was that, the Tuesday bloodbath. That was just absolutely brutal. We tested and held trend line support from those December lows. That comes in near about 254 and change. So we got a little bit of relief today, but really, again, you know, the opposite with the grains, not the relief that you'd like to see after such a sharp sell off. And basically a little bit of a wedge there. I continue to err on the side of caution in the cattle complex. I feel like these markets have had ample reason to see more of a meaningful rally, and the fact that we're not able to get that on relatively decent fundamental news is certainly a caution flag, especially when you look towards the end of the year and the turn of the year into 2025. So I think, you know, protecting the downside is certainly something people want to take a look at. If they have that exposure, you know, softer economic data, potential bird flu headlines, election. There's a lot of potential risk headlines out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's and just the need to take a break.
Yeah. It's going to keep funds buyers at bay, would-be buyers at bay.
Exactly. Exactly. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Take care.
You bet. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. All right, we're going to start with some crop comments, and then we're going to get into what's going on in the markets. We'll even do some prep for Friday's reports. Matt Bennett, AgMarket.net.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at agmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Retire.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Don't miss Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, held August 13th through the 15th, hosted in Chippewa County at Close Farms and the Country Fest Grounds. This popular annual event showcases the latest advancements in farming technology. Farm Tech Days offers hands-on experiences, educational opportunities, and access to cutting-edge equipment and solutions in the farm industry. We hope you can join us for 3 days of exhibits, family fun, and food trucks, August 13th through the 15th. Advance tickets can be purchased at wifarmtechdays.com.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you were with us on this Thursday afternoon. Dude, it is July 11th already. Yeah, here we are.
Did it go fast? It feels like this week has just...
Yeah.
Here we are, Thursday afternoon. Yeah.
There's no doubt that it has... July has flown by. Absolutely flown by.
I'm not willing to say the whole month has flown by, necessarily.
No, I am. I'm willing to say it. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Okay. I will tell you this, though. The good news is Pool 10 on the Mississippi River is reopened to recreational boating.
Excellent. Get out the flip-flops, the swim floaties, and off he goes.
There might be a little bit of that going on. Absolutely.
I love it.
All right, let's get to the conversation. Matt Bennett, AgMarket.net, is somewhere out there on the road. He joins us right now. Matt, it's great to talk with you.
Hey, buddy. Good to talk to you, too.
You bet. You bet. Where are you heading?
Yeah, I'm going to Cherokee, Iowa, to do an event there, channel event, and basically, we're just going to try to see if we can't come up with something positive to talk about. I don't know. It's a tough time to talk markets, but there's still things we need to talk about. You know, there's still risk involved. There's still a whole lot of different things to digest, you know, and then I got to go to Des Moines. We're going to do market tomorrow. So, it'll be a fun week to talk markets there too.
Yeah. And here you are on AgriTalk talking markets, man. You're a glutton for it this week.
I know.
Yep. You know, one of the things that I think we cannot lose track of is there are areas of the Corn Belt, and you're getting up into one, that have really struggled this year. There's no question about that. Look at that corn crop in southern Minnesota, and there it's crappy in areas. Mm-hmm. It really is. Some areas of northern Iowa, not good. But you get outside of that area, we got to be thankful for the corn crop that's growing, for the bean crop that's growing. Things look pretty doggone good.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question about it, Chip. I would have said before barrel, came up into the heart of where I'm at, I would have said, hey, the Eastern Corn Belt might be able to kind of keep us from falling apart with this market. You look at the drop monitor last week in my county. Was the driest in the state. Shelby and Moultrie counties were two of maybe four or five that were the driest counties in the state. And we're dry. And don't get me wrong, our crops look pretty good. We were able to get them planted in good time, had good stands, looked like we pollinated pretty good. So it's not like we were, in a mega drought deal. It's just that we were dry. You come in here this week, and pretty much the entire Eastern Corn Belt received a pretty measurable amount of rain. Most of the folks that I talked to in Central Illinois range between 2 and 4 inches of rain. And most of those folks, Chip, don't have any water standing. And so it was a beautiful. It came perfectly. You were able to basically utilize every bit of moisture that you received. And so, Chip, no longer can you say that Illinois might be able to support this market. In fact, I'll tell you, Chip, I'm not so sure Illinois doesn't post a new all-time record yield this year. Yeah. Just based on what we're seeing and hearing from our growers and what I see personally.
Yeah. Yeah. Early in the season in the northern part of the state, there were some of those planting issues that we cannot forget about because the problems that we have in the spring, they always seem to show up later in the year when we're running the combine and checking the yield monitor. We can't forget about that. But you're not the first one that I've heard this idea of a record corn yield in the state of Illinois come from. The optimism around that crop is definitely growing. So what do you think that this corn market has got factored in for a corn crop, Matt? Is it above trend or way above trend, I think?
I don't know that it's a way above trend, but I think that no longer can we say, that there's the market is thinking below trend. I've got to think that we're at least at a trend, probably like a 180 type yield, obviously with more acres than we thought before the planted acreage report. Yes, there's some question marks on harvested acreage percentage and maybe some prevent plant, But overall, we know that we're not going to be lacking for corn. I mean, part of the problem with this market all along has been that your carryout or your ending stocks numbers, you know, we're going to be in that 2 billion ball game. The most bearish part of the June 28th report, in my opinion, was quarterly stocks showing that we had 100 million more bushels plus than what the trade thought. So now, you know, you're talking a 2-1. So I got to think you've got a 180 factored in. You've topped that on top of the kind of acreage we've got planted with a 180 yield, and it's pretty easy to see why we're where we're at.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a 2.2 to 2.3 billion bushel carryover for 24-25 in tomorrow's update, isn't it?
Yes, and I don't think that they'll get carried away above that. You could make the case for something above that. I don't think the USDA goes there yet. There'll be some interesting mathematics, I'm sure. I don't want their job. You know that. You've heard me say that before. Yeah. But definitely, they have plenty of demand built in with reports leading up to this, in my opinion. But yes, you'll get a 2.2, 2.3 for new crop, probably a 2.1 for old. And with that being the case, you know, you got to ask yourself, what is it that can give you a substantial rally? Because we got to get some major demand coming into this thing in the absence of some sort of catastrophic weather event.
Yeah. Well, and they just upped the Brazilian corn crop estimate up about 1.7 million metric tons. That's just more demand that we're not going to get.
It is. I mean, you know, there's been some talk that China might end up looking for some corn here this year. It doesn't look like they're going to have a bumper crop by any means. You know, a lot of folks say, well, shoot, they're going to go to the Brazilians for corn. They're going to have a captive supply there. And they very well may, Chip. But the bottom line is, if they buy Brazilian corn, that takes some corn off the market that would go to someone otherwise. So any sort of Chinese demand out there on the world market is going to be friendly to the market, in my opinion, or at least supportive. I don't know that you get real bullish unless they get on a buying spree, which I don't necessarily expect just yet. But I certainly think that China will be in buying some corn sometime this calendar year anyway.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we cannot. I don't want to complain about the corn export demand at all. I don't want to complain about demand for ethanol production either. Do you?
No. Yeah. It's been good. You know, I think that the problem, Chip, is that you're going to need it to be better than expected on a consistent basis when you're trying to chew into a 2 billion 2 years in a row. And so last time we had 2 billion 2 years in a row was back right before 2020, you know, 18 and 19. And you were looking at average cash marketing prices, you know, in that 350 and below range, at least for the whole year. So, you know, that's a little bit of a haircut compared to what we've been looking at.
Yep. Yep. You know, I don't want to complain about the corn that's going to ethanol production, but I will say this. If we're going to eat our way out of the supply issues that we've got, it's going to have to come from that biofuels market with some expanded demand for the sustainable aviation fuel, for the renewable diesel, for those kinds of things, if we're going to chew through this demand, isn't it?
Absolutely, Chip. I mean, you know, given what's going on in South America, they are the world's number one exporter of corn and soybeans right now. You know, that's probably not going away anytime soon. We are certainly raising what appears to be a mammoth crop on top of big stocks. And so you're not going to chew through all that without a little bit of help. We do know that there's just a magnificent opportunity for demand for corn. You know, if we can factor in ethanol into this SAF discussion without a thousand hoops to jump through, I understand some of this, but you know, we've got to use stuff at home that we're growing, in my opinion, if we're really going to support this economy, because we know if the rural economy heads south, there's a whole lot of people affected, and it's not just farmers.
Man, amen to that. There's no question that it's not just farmers. We're going to talk about some more bean issues in the next segment, but first, before we get to the break, tell me about your bean crop.
Bean crop looks really good. You know, we got all that rain. We had a fair amount of blooms. We were a little concerned as it was getting a little hotter and drier, but I feel really good about the bean crop right now. Of course, it's an August crop, but I do think that we'll be able to get to August, you know, in pretty darn good shape. We're going to have a big bushy plant with a lot of pods. Just a matter of, can we fill them out? And I guess we'll know more after we see that August weather.
Have you seen any concerns about disease in either corn or soybeans or pests at all?
Yeah, we've seen some concern for sure, but I tell you what, Chip, anybody who is in the path of that storm was dragging stuff up from the Gulf. I'll tell you what, I think that I would be really strongly considering some fungicide if you weren't already. We went ahead and applied fungicide to all of our corn. We're going to use it on all of our soybeans. You know, bottom line is we don't want to take any chances. I understand some folks don't want to throw more money at this crop. I totally understand why they say that. But for me and my house, I'll tell you, we have to go after the yield. I think that's the only way we're going to be able to hold things together here this year.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Matt, stay right there. We are in the middle of a conversation with Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. We got to take a quick break in here. We're going to talk a little bit more about getting ready for the report that we're getting from USDA tomorrow. And then we're going to talk some cattle with Matt. You know, and we should probably try to figure out just what the downside risk in corn is.
Farming is unlike any other job in the world. It takes years of experience to really walk the walk. Same goes for your financial partner, which is why choosing FBN Finance makes so much sense. FBN Finance was created by farmers to help you become even more competitive with flexible terms, rates, and instant approvals up to $2.5 million for qualified applicants. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For December, HRW wheat futures were 18 cents higher at 601 and 3 quarters. December, SRW wheat up a dime to 595. September corn futures were 4 and 1/2 cents higher at $4 and 1 quarter cent. December corn up 3.5 to 410 and 3 quarters. August soybean futures were 3 and 3 quarter cents higher at 1117. November beans closed at 1067 and 3 quarters, up 3 quarters of 1 cent on the day. December cotton 6 points lower on the day at 7087. On your livestock, August fat cattle today steady 182.25. August feeders up $1.80 to 256.15. And August lean hog futures today were $2 higher at 86.67 and 1/2. Hey, won't you get more market news every market day? Just visit tryprofarmer.com.
Having someone you can trust with your everything is everything. At Chippewa Valley Energy, keeping you warm, keeping you cool, keeping you safe is what they do. Since 1922, when the Eau Claire Cooperative Oil Company was founded, it was to service farmers, homeowners, and businesses with necessary energy solutions. Since then, they've grown, but still offer the same great local service that they did over 100 years ago. Become and stay one of their partners with necessary energy and reliable service for your generations, your farm, your business, your family. Chippewa Valley Energy, no more. Go to ChippewaValleyEnergy.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
You're invited to the 156th Wabasha County Fair, July 17th through the 20th at the fairgrounds in Wabasha. Enjoy the autocross on Wednesday night starting at 7. There'll be bull riding on Friday nights starting at 7 and at the big autocross exposition and demo derby as well Saturday night at 5 o'clock. Food, fun, and all the fair animals too during the 156th Wabasha County Fair, July 17th through the 20th at the fairgrounds in Wabasha.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. With a high-pressure system overhead, we have bright, beautiful blue skies today alongside calm winds. There's only a teeny tiny small shot of a few showers sprinkling in this afternoon. Enjoy this summery, comfortable day with highs in the mid-80s.
Are you behind on tax payments? Call Tax Solutions now for help. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 83 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Crickets are singing in a lightning bug. Welcome back to AgriTalk. We're in the middle of a conversation with Matt Bennett, AgMarket.net. Matt, I'm calling up the December corn chart daily just because I want that point, that to have that out there as a point of reference again. There's not a lot pretty on this chart. What is the risk? How do we identify it at this point?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Chip, is you can look at this a couple of different ways. I mean, clearly, you know, a lot of folks, including us, have looked to that 2014 chart for reference. Right now, they're about mirrored over the last month or so, and they've tracked really closely for the last several months. And so, you know, you got to ask yourself, you know, what did 2014 do? I'll tell you what, you go through the month of July and there's another 20-30 cents of downside. If you would follow along with that, I'm not saying we will. I'm just saying that some folks are watching this. Clearly, they're watching this very closely. You bottomed out around 318 after this September WASD. I'm not saying we're going there either, but I do think there's more risk. And so a lot of this, Chip, if you want to know, you know, what should I do? I mean, we've got to know exactly what your crop insurance situation is. You know, did you do the buy-up, or are you at 85%? At 85%, your risk factor is anything under 397 at APH. But clearly, if you're in a situation that you've got above APH yields, all of a sudden that 397 could turn into 367. You know, so there's still risk here, Chip. There's still risk. The tough thing to do here is to step forward and do something at price levels that are underwater. All right. I'm sorry that we all know this. We may as well say it. None of us are making money at $4 and below cash corn. I mean, it's you got to have your ground paid for and owned to be in that situation. And so Scott Irwin put something on this week about that was very closely looked at. A lot of folks looked at that as far as his budgets. And then I made a post and I said, hey, if you haven't sold any corn yet and you use University of Illinois numbers, which are based on actual farms, you know, and you would drop his cash rent from 359 down to 300. You know, and let's face it, Central Illinois, 300 is almost non-existent sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if you use that, Chip, if you had no corn sold, you need 286 bushel corn to break even. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not a pleasant situation. Okay, so there's still risk, though. And a producer has to understand, hey, if I lock in some worst case scenario, if I'm selling cash this fall, Chip, the basis is not going to be pretty when you're carrying in 2 billion bushels.
Right.
I got to understand how that's going to work. And so bottom line is there's still risk to the downside. I'm afraid you could be looking at another, you know, 30 cents anyway.
Yep. Now, there is still risk to the downside, but that it's not like you can't manage the risk. You've got to take an active approach to it. Don't let the markets beat you up, guys. And if you feel like you're getting beat up, sometimes you got to fight back a little bit and do some aggressive risk management. Am I saying that right?
Absolutely, Chip. So I know some folks are concerned not only about 24, about 25. I know folks that have stepped in and bought, you know, September short dated $4 or 390 puts just to avoid further deterioration. You know, you put a little bit of money out there. I understand some people say, well, puts expire worthless a lot of the time. Well, I'll tell you what, talk to someone that's had puts in their account over the last 2-3 months and see what they have to say.
Right.
I mean, the bottom line is you're getting that put option in place to avoid a catastrophe. And you've got to understand. Now, another thing, 25, we've been stepping in here and protecting like that 450 level with a November short dated put option. And what we're doing there is we're just saying, look, we want to be able to true our fertilizer purchases up against no worse than 450 minus the cost of our trade. You know, and there's different ways you can do it to cheapen it up. But the bottom line is I don't want to be in a situation where D's 25 decides it wants to go where D's 24 ends up going, because I'm pretty worried about where D's 24 is going to go.
Right, right. And just as a point of reference so that everybody is knows what we're talking about here, D's 24 to day. Oh, I've got that right here. Closed at 410 and three quarters. The Dease 25 today closed at 451 and a half. So if you're thinking about, geez, I don't want to be in a position where I've got to sell on against a 410 board on the 24 crop, well, take a look at what's available on the 25. No, a 450 market isn't this big, spectacular, we're gonna fix everything that's wrong kind of market, but it's a whole lot better than 410.
It is. One thing that concerns me about 25 right now is we still haven't seen these fertilizer prices come down, Chip. I'm pretty concerned about it. You know, I got to hope that we see some of these costs back off just a little bit, because I'll tell you what, you may fix your supply problem with a lack of people planting corn if you can't get fertilizer to come down some, because quite frankly, there's going to be some folks that just a couple years removed from record profits 2 years in a row that may not be able to come up with the cash.
Right.
I mean, the pendulum has swung pretty violently after you've seen this cash price deteriorate so much that the farmer held on to a lot of corn. We know that. Unfortunately, the USDA told us that. Any of us in the industry knows that. It's an interesting dynamic because they're still tight-fisted, and you see these basis levels, very impressive. But the unfortunate thing about basis levels being impressive is that you've seen such a plummet on the board that it really isn't doing us a whole heck of a lot of good.
Right. Yep, that's exactly right. It's almost like they just picked a cash price. They're going to hold it there. Doesn't matter what futures do.
And, absolutely.
It's trying to get corn to move that way, and I don't know if a whole lot of corn is going to move based off of that or not. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you want to hit me with before we get to tomorrow's WASDEs?
No, I mean, I just think it's a tough game right now. It's very important that all of us understand that, there's always opportunity where there's challenges. I know it looks pretty rough right now, but we've gotten through this before. We're going to get through it again, Chip, but we can't stick our head in the sand and just pretend that we can get through it without doing something proactively.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And, if you feel yourself getting down, you better pick up the phone and talk to somebody. You just got to, guys. You got to talk to people about what is going on in your life. You got partners. Find them. Trust them. Rely on them and talk to them. So
for sure.
Do it. All right. Live cattle. You like that market, dude? Yeah.
You know, this live cattle market, if you look at that chart, of course, you just kind of stair step up. The thing about this is that we withstood this last cattle on feed report, and man, it was a doozy, you know, and then you turned around and rallied. And what did that tell me? That told me that folks said, you know what? Yes, this was a bearish report, but we look at these future reports, and it's going to be hard to make for a bearish cattle on feed report. And the reason for that is that August through December, either placements or cattle on feed, on each one of those months, we were looking at 100 or over. And so that makes the pressure on this year to be able to keep up with that. It's not going to happen. And so you're going to see some lower numbers, you know, moving forward. And I think that the speculators kind of sitting here saying, you know, we're not going to go short this market. But then, of course, this week, as you guys were talking about with Oliver, you know, the feeder market just pretty much took a nosedive here a couple days ago. In the grand scheme of things, though, Chip, if we're clear about it, the feeder market, the fat market out there in the real world, it's still really hard to buy these things. There's still ton of demand out here. And so I do think that this cattle market could have a chance later on in the year still. I don't know that we make new all-time highs, but I do think that we'll stay strong. But I want everyone to understand this. We've seen some big-time drop-offs at the end of the calendar year this last year, you know, obviously March into April. Bottom line is this, protect yourself. I mean, you're looking at 180s, fats. I mean, come on. There's years we'd have given our right arm. And I do know we've got cost of gain in there. They're pretty ramped up. But I don't want to sit here and let mid-180s get past me, you know, if I'm in a situation that I can't digest mid-170s, because we could get there pretty darn quick.
Yep, that's absolutely right. I agree. It sounds to me like the sow herd is getting smaller out there. Are you hearing some liquidation happening?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing the same thing. You know, you've got to ask yourself, you know, if feed costs you know, continue to ratchet down some, is that maybe going to stem the tide there? You know, with those numbers coming down, I've got to think that sooner or later you're going to find some footing here. But by all means, this hog market, I'll tell you what, you know, when we got into the triple digits here, you know, I don't know, you just go back to the April time frame. I just felt like, gosh, we're awful rich here. We've taken a nosedive, and it just seems like the hog market can't really find a friend. I guess moving forward, I've got to think that hogs will stay supported in here. I don't see them plummeting, especially if you can keep the cattle market somewhat supported. I think that hogs will maybe kind of pigeon off some of that support, if you will, and be able to keep from really going to super low levels.
Hey, I just got a text. Why hasn't front month lean live cattle futures traded up to the cash levels?
That's a really good question. And this isn't the first month that we've seen that happen. You know, I mean, bottom line is on this cattle market, we've seen a big difference between what the market is showing and what the actual cash market out in the real world showing. I don't know why we've got such a gap there. We certainly need to see it close somewhat, but it's not a dynamic we're just now first witnessing.
Right. Gotcha. Matt, great job today, buddy. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Travel safe out there, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me, bud.
All right. Be good. That is Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. It's a great question about why the nearby live cattle futures have not traded up to the levels that we've seen in the cash market. You know, we had $200 cash trade up in the north last week. I don't know if we're going to get there this week or not, but it was awfully impressive last week. All right, stay tuned, stay with us. Davis and I will be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalk.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
In this season of independence, we salute all those families preparing for the local county fair. To the kids sweating in the barn and all those parents standing ringside who really did all the work. Let us help get those animals' diets just right and ready for show day. So grab that blue ribbon and plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-948-5880. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-948-5880 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
I'm at the movies, asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
Hi, I'm Mike Howell, host of The Dirt, an economics podcast featuring down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Here's a highlight of our latest episode. What are we looking at this summer? Every time I turn the television on, I hear something about La Nina's ending and El Nino is coming, and what's going on with that?
You're right about the planting pace. It was a wild mix this year. I mean, we've had people like the state of Iowa who have been extremely wet. They've had delays. While you have other folks in Iowa saying, oh man, it was just ideal and perfect. I got in at the right time. We saw some delays in some of the crop progress numbers in certain areas. But the reality is that I struggle with balancing the production delays and the delays of our work plan with hydrology. And the reality of it is that all of this wet weather we've had in the spring throughout a big section of the country has undone a lot of drought. Now, that's not everywhere. If you go to central Kansas, you go down to the southern and high plains, not the case. They've been extremely dry. Even with some of the storms that have come through, they follow with hot, windy days evaporating a lot of that water. So the central Kansas area into the panhandles of Texas, down into New Mexico, very concerned about that. We got wildfires already going in parts of Arizona. Now, you ask, where's this all going and how does El Nino, La Nina play a role into it? And I'll tell you something, your neck of the woods down in Mississippi, you remember last fall? You were in record-setting drought. That's all gone. It's been extremely wet. Some places in eastern Texas have had over 1,000% of normal rainfall in the last 30 days. And you could just stretch all that wet weather straight across the southern tier of the U.S., clear to the Carolinas. We've reduced drought area down to 13% across the lower 48.
If you'd like to dig deeper, listen to the full episode on your favorite streaming site or on our website, nutrien-economicswithak.com. And stay up to date with the latest crop nutrition research and news to help you make better business decisions. New episodes of The Dirt drop every Tuesday, so be sure to tune in weekly.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Hoodly doodly doo, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here. Chip Lorre. My Summit yes. Cola diet's kicking in. Getting that afternoon what? Rush. It's hard to time it.
The
Summit Cola diet.
Can
that's
you
right.
still get that stuff?
It's delicious. And I actually like it better than the leading competitor, which is also in a silver and red can.
Yeah.
Under the name
yeah.
of Diet Something.
Right.
This has just a little less caffeine, I think.
Oh, really?
It hits me
wow.
right in the pocket right now, baby. I'm gotcha. Feeling real good. Yep.
Summit
Cola
good,
Diet.
Good. That's a yeah. whole lot different than the Earl Grey tea or whatever the heck it was.
It is a little different. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They're still squeezing unicorns. I'm waiting for the perfect batch.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Need just the right tears for my tea. let me throw this out there as a public announcement. We've talked about this concept sort of on a lot of different levels in reference to a lot of different things. If you're feeling sketchy about your marketing, if you're feeling like, ooh, wait a second, suddenly I'm feeling horribly, horribly undersold and I don't know what to do, call for help.
Yeah.
We're not having these analysts on them. We want to pick their brains and find out their strategies and what they're thinking about all this. We're parading all these really smart people by you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
If one of them sounds interesting to you or you like the cut of their jib, mm-hmm. you know, maybe Google them or, you know, ask your farming mentor or buddy or whoever. 'Cause here's the thing. Not reaching out for help. Because you're thinking, oh, this guy's going to think I'm a nerd for, you know, you're afraid that they'll think ill of you. That's the same thing as breaking your leg and not going to the doctor because you don't want him to see you in ill health. I have a right. cavity. I can't go to the dentist like this.
Right.
Dude.
Right.
The doctor went to school to fix your leg. That's why he's there. The dentist wants to fix your cavity. Don't be embarrassed. You got to reach out. You got to do something. It's crunch time, people. Chip.
Yes. Yes. Well said, man. Well said. That's all. There are people, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that guys like Matt or me or Brian Grady or you know what? I'm just going to quit with the list right there because I don't need to leave anybody out. The vast majority of the people that I know in the business, and this doesn't, not everybody is in this list, but the vast majority, I tell you what, you call them up and you're feeling a little desperate about your marketing, confused about your marketing. It doesn't matter if you've got an account with them or not. They're going to talk to you.
True statement.
And they are, you know, and the thing is with me at Pro Farmer and Brian Grady at Pro Farmer, you don't have an account with Pro Farmer. You might be a subscriber to the service, but there's no brokerage at Pro Farmer. Brian's not making a dime if you do hedging or don't. Brian is in it for the analysis, for the perspective, for the news, the information, and to help you understand what your options are and how best to get from how you are feeling about your marketing today to a better spot. It's the bottom line.
And let's get you sleeping at night again.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
It's kind of, it's not all about that, but it is, you know?
Well, no, and you're right. You're right. It's not all about that. It is about doing the best job of protecting what you've got and getting a return on what you've invested. That's
a pretty big deal.
That's a big deal. That's exactly how I was going to describe it.
Yeah. But if you got all the money in the world and can't live with yourself, well, how rich are you? You know?
Yeah, that's right.
That got philosophical. Oliver Slope doesn't feel warm and fuzzy about today's markets at all, apparently. He made no bones about that.
Yeah, when Oliver starts talking about the warm and fuzzies and he doesn't feel them towards these markets, that's we know that we're starting to look for reasons for these markets to rally.
Yeah.
You know, we had the Ukrainian headline where they seized the vessel that had seized the Ukrainian grain. It was hauling quote unquote Russian grain, and this has been going on for a long time. But if all of the sudden Ukraine decides we've had enough and we're not going to put up with this any longer, and they start doing something to the foreign vessels that are hauling Russian grain that was grown in Ukraine, that's going to escalate the conflict. It just absolutely will. Commodities are how Putin is funding his war. Whether it be crude oil or wheat or whatever it is, he's funding it with commodities, and anything that gets in the way of him selling commodities is not, he's not going to put up with it. It will escalate and intensify the battles over there, Davis. There's just no question in my mind. So today we get this big reaction. And the thing is, if Ukraine starts to do something about it, what if they're successful? Successful to the point that they shut the Black Sea down completely?
Oof.
Okay. There. Now all of a sudden, maybe we start to get some demand back into the U.S., I would certainly think. Story. We got to change. We got to change in the 6 to 10 day in the pattern here.
We do. Yep.
This is for July 17th through the 21st. Below normal temperatures moving into the Corn Belt. Wisconsin, just call it southern Minnesota. A lot of Iowa, northeast Missouri, most of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. We've got near normal temperatures across most of the rest of the Corn Belt. Above normal temperatures in the northwest area. Below normal precipitation in the northern production areas. North Dakota, most of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. Near normal on a narrow band between above normal precip in the southern Corn Belt areas. 8 to 14 day, the above normal temperatures move in from the northwest, push the below normal temperatures to the south and the east, and below normal precip on the outlook continues to move in from the north and into the center of the Corn Belt. Thanks for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. Free for all, Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me here on AgriTalk.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Why'd the kid jump off the boat?
I don't know. Why?
Peer pressure.
Oh. Good one, Ned.
Ned isn't funny, but Ned owns a